Would you please open to Mark chapter 11? In Mark 11, chapter 11, verse 22, Jesus says, "Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." Well, that's the foundation verse, I guess, for just about any confession message that's ever been preached. So what we want to do right now tonight is eliminate all of those sermons about confession that have been out there in left field. You know, the ones that just have been goofy, telling you to confess all kinds of crazy stuff. We're not going to talk about that. We're going to talk about what Jesus has said here. Now, a lot of people have come against the confession message, the faith and confession. In fact, you know, a lot of folks have taken a real sour taste in their mouth, if you will, concerning, you know, the word of faith people and churches and all that, which is sad because the very essence of that term is a good term. It's just what some people have made it. They've twisted and just manipulated Scripture. But no matter how many times we try to dismiss it, the bottom line is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, our Savior, has said right here in Mark 11, 23, "I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." I don't know what you're going to do with that. I mean, you can't just dismiss it. It's there. So that leaves a lot of people in kind of a rock and a hard spot, if you will. You know, they just don't believe all this confession stuff. You just can't confess things and get them and so on and so forth. Yet it says right here, Jesus, whatever you say, believe it, and it's going to come to pass. You'll have it. Okay, well, what do I believe then? Do I believe all these preachers that come against the faith and confession message? Or do I believe what Jesus said? You say, well, that's a pretty simple thing. You believe what Jesus said.
Amen.
All right, now, if that's true, then why? Well, because he said it, so. He said a lot of things in here, didn't he? Some we act on, some we don't. But this thing right here about the confession, Jesus said it. Therefore, it has to be true. But where in the world did he come up with such an idea? Where did he come up with this concept that, you know, if you just, whatever you say, if you believe it, you'll receive it? I don't know about you, but I'd like to know. Well, the answer's in Scripture. Turn over to John. John chapter 12. And I want you to look at what Jesus has said. In verse 44, Jesus is speaking and he says, "He that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide or continually dwell in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak.
Amen.
And I know that His commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. This is where Jesus came up with that crazy faith and confession doctrine. He got it from the Father.
Amen.
Now here's Jesus. Let's kind of think of it like this. Here's Jesus. And, you know, He's sitting on a hillside. And He's praying. Well, Father, what do you want me to tell the people today? The Father says, well, son, here's what I want you to tell them today. Tell them, if they have faith in me, and believe that what they say will come to pass, they'll have whatsoever they say. And the son says, okay, Father, I can do that. So he steps out and says, yep, attention, attention. Straight from the press room of heaven.
Amen.
The Father says, whatever you say, if you believe it and don't doubt, you shall receive what you say.
Amen.
So God was telling Jesus to tell us that what we confess comes to pass. However, there is a catch.
Mm-hmm.
And the catch is back what we just read here in John chapter 12. Jesus said, look here, right here. Verse 49. The Father that sent me gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. So, if Jesus is receiving from the Father the instructions of what He is to say, and then He turns around and tells us, here's what the Father says. The Father says, what you speak will come to pass. You'll have it. Well, Jesus, is that true? Absolutely. Works for me. Well, how does it work for you? Because I only speak what the Father tells me to speak. Therefore, if you speak what the Father says or has said, you will get what you say. Now, obviously, you have to believe that.
Amen.
Problem is, a lot of people don't. But that's what Jesus said. Now, here's the problem. Here's where the unbelief comes in. Our human minds say that such a thing is impossible. You can't just say something and get it. Well, there's the Father up in heaven.
Amen.
And He says, well, why not? He says, why? You just can't. And the Father's up in heaven saying, excuse me, why not?
Amen.
You know, he's watching that preacher down there stand up and tell the whole congregation that this confession stuff is crazy. Stay away from those faith and confession people. They'll just lead you astray and get you off on the wrong stuff. And they're nuts. Trust me, you can't just confess anything and you just can't speak these things and expect they're going to come to pass. And there's God up in heaven saying, but why not? I'm the one that gave this rule in the first place. So, why can't you? If you're going to speak what I have spoken, why shouldn't you believe that it would come to pass?
Amen.
Why not? And therein lies the problem, because in our minds, according to the standards of this world, this corrupt world, it doesn't work that way. You understand what I mean? But according to the kingdom into which we have been translated, it does work that way. Now, Jesus said, if you believe on me, the works I do, you shall do also.
Great.
What's that include? That includes what He did, what He do. He spoke. When He spoke, things happened.
Amen.
I mean, He had the audacity to speak to a poor little fig tree and say, die.
Amen.
And the thing died.
Withered.
Just, you know, withers up. No more figs. Glad I wasn't that tree. If Jesus looks at you and says, wither, you will wither. I don't want to wither.
Amen.
I want to be the planting of the Lord. I want to bear my fruit.
Amen.
Repeatedly, Jesus speaks things. Peter, what? Go fishing. Okay.
First fish you catch, open its mouth.
Hallelujah.
Reach inside.
Amen.
Pull out the temple tax money for you and me.
Ooh-wee.
Do I rinse it off first? So Peter, he goes, hey, there it is, the money. Pulls it out. That's weird. Doesn't make any sense. But Jesus said it. And he had a commandment from the... A commandment.
Amen.
A commandment.
Amen.
Son, what you say, you get.
Amen.
Just be sure what you say is what I've said.
Amen.
He says, Father, I can do that. You believe on me, you shall have life everlasting.
Hallelujah.
It's a commandment.
Amen.
So he turns around, and it's like the Father said, Son, you tell them that if they believe on you, they will have life everlasting.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus says, here we go, hot off the presses of heaven. If you believe in me, you will have life everlasting.
Amen.
Now that it has been spoken, it cannot not produce.
Amen.
Therefore, now listen, it was the Father's will for it to be like that the whole time. For God loved the world, sent Jesus, whoever believes in him. Okay, praise God. That's what God wanted to have happen. But nobody knew it. Until Jesus stands up one day and says, this is what the Father told me to say last night in prayer. If you will believe in me, you will have life everlasting.
Amen.
And the moment he spoke it,
it
went to work. It went to work. Now here we are. We're benefactors of what he said 2,000 years ago. You believe on me, you'll have everlasting life. Okay, I'm going to believe on you. He said, there, you have everlasting life. Whatsoever you say, believe you receive it, and you're going to have it. Just be sure God said it first. Okay, all right, but why? Why does this work? Well, I'm going to show you why it works. Turn over first to Titus. Titus chapter 1. I'm going to show you two passages here. First one, right here in Titus, chapter 1, verse 1. Look at this. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. What's that tell me about God? He cannot lie. He can't lie. How many of you ever have ever seen that movie, Liar Liar? Which there are some parts of that movie that aren't exactly fit for showing in a sanctuary, okay? Well, there are parts of the movie that are hilarious. Because what happened was, you know, Jim Carrey's in this movie. Like him or not, I mean, you know, the guy was funny in this movie. And what the deal was, you know, he just caught up in the world making money and neglected his family and all this. And so it was his son's birthday. And his son made a birthday wish. Standing there in front of his cake, candle burning, says, I wish that for one day my dad couldn't lie. Then blows out the candle. Well, the wish came true. And for one day, his dad couldn't lie. And he tried to lie, but he couldn't. And it's like he's an attorney. And he was a player, a manipulator. I mean, buddy, this guy knew how to work the system. So he's defending this one lady. And at one point, you know, he actually beats himself up in the restroom. I mean, you'd have to see the movie. I'm not telling you to go watch it, but... So he's standing there in the courtroom, you know, all beaten and bloody and everything like that. The judge looks at him and he says, are you able to continue? And he wanted to say no. And he's sitting there going, yes! Because he wanted to say no, but that would have been a lie. So he had to say yes. And the judge says, okay, continue. And he goes, and he grabbed it because he couldn't lie. That's the way it is with God. If God were to try to lie, he'd be going, yes or no. He can't lie. He can't. There's not a, a little lying microbe cell anywhere floating around in his celestial being. He can't lie. It's impossible for him to lie. Which leads us to the next verse. Look over in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 6. And verse 17, Hebrews 6, 17. Wherein, God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise, that's us, the immutability, which means the unchangeability, of His counsel, that word counsel means decree, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Well, briefly, what hope? The hope that He can't lie, the hope that it's impossible for Him to lie, so that when He says, believe on my Son Jesus Christ and you'll have eternal life, we now have hope. Hey, listen, there are a lot of religions out there that will tell you you get eternal life a whole lot of different ways. But there's no hope in that. It's because they don't have a God that can't lie. I mean, their God's already lied to them by telling them there's another way to salvation. God can't lie. And so He says right here, it's impossible, impossible for God to lie. So God cannot lie, and it's impossible for Him to lie. Impossible. Do you get this? Therefore, whatever He says can't be anything but the truth.
Amen.
Can't be. I mean, over in Psalms it says, forever, O Lord, Thy word is settled in heaven.
Amen.
What, lies are settled in heaven? Lies are established? I don't think so. God can't lie. In fact, over in John chapter 17, verse 17, when Jesus is praying, He says, Father, sanctify them with Thy truth. Thy word is truth. Well, how did Jesus know that? Because He knew the Father. The Father can't lie. It's impossible for the... Listen, if God could lie, I'm glad I wasn't Jesus. He said, what are you talking about? Well, because in the Old Testament, there are like these prophecies about like on the third day being raised. About how that His sacrifice would be the final sacrifice for all humanity and so forth. The people could be redeemed unto the Father. And I mean, you know, I'm paraphrasing the prophecies. So now, if He can lie, I'll guarantee you this, I'm not coming to earth to be your Savior because I don't know for sure if I'm going to be raised up on that third day. And I sure don't want to stay where I'm going. Jesus knew that the Father can't lie. Man, you've got to have that kind of an assurance before you're willing to lay aside all your deity power to come down and put on a human body and live in this mess for 33 and a half years and then die on a cross. Man, you've got to have some kind of an assurance that what God has said is going to come to pass. Well, He had that assurance and He knew. And then what's happened is God has, in His Word, tried to get across to us. He says, my word is truth. I can't lie. It is impossible for me to lie. It'll never happen. I mean, if you'd like, I'll try to lie. But I can't. So the only thing that's going to come out of my mouth is truth. When my lips move, truth is released. I cannot lie. Here's the crazy thing about it. We act like He does. Now you say, well, how do you figure that? Well, now think for a minute. Think. If He can't lie, if it is impossible for Him to lie, and He told our Savior to tell us that whatever we speak, believe we'll receive it, and we'll have it, and we don't do that, what are we saying? Aren't we actually saying, I put more faith in my ability to reason things out than your immutability that you cannot lie? I'll figure these things out. God can't lie. Well, that's right. Amen. God can't lie. So if you confess, now hold on, let's not get radical. Well, God is, from that perspective, quite radical. Because He's already said, if you will speak what I have spoken, and believe it, then what you speak will come to pass in your life. It can't not happen. Because I'm God and I cannot lie. So therefore, if you'll take my words and incorporate them into your life, like my son did, and then turn around and speak what I have spoken, then you can live daily in the expectation of a manifestation of what you have spoken.
Amen.
Now, if I really believe that, would I not be speaking what God has spoken day in and day out? I don't mean I'll walk around confessing Scripture. You know, go to the drive-through and, you know, order burger and fries, and the lady say, "Well, is that all, sir?" "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." "Sir, I just need to know, do you want a milkshake or not? I mean, is that all you want?" You understand what I'm saying? You know, it's not about running around quoting Scripture. You know, we'll leave that to all the weirdos out there that, you know what I'm talking about? There's people out there in left field carry this thing way off to an extreme. Now, I'm talking about relative to my situations in life. Jesus spoke what God told him to speak relative to the situations in his life. The blind man. "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." "Bring him here." As they bring the guy to him. And Jesus looked at him and he says, "Sir, we are going to give you a new Cadillac." No, the guy didn't need a new Cadillac. He's blind. He for sure didn't need a new Cadillac. No, he spoke to the situation. And the situation was the man's blindness. And the man said, or Jesus said to that man, "Be healed."
Amen.
And the man was healed and received his sight. He spoke to, you know, one situation after, you know, the guy at the pool of Bethesda. "Take up your bed and walk." He spoke God's will to the situation. You know, when it came time to eat, what did he do? He took the loaves and the fish, and the Bible says he blessed them. The first thing that happened was he blessed them, which means he spoke over them. Now, I don't know what he says, because Scripture doesn't record what he said. It just says he blessed them.
Amen.
All right, now let's think. We can kind of pretend here for a minute. You have all these thousands and thousands and thousands of people that showed up. They're all hungry. 5 loaves and 2 fish. What are you going to do? You bless it. Well, how do you bless it? What do we need? What's the situation? Hungry people. What do we have? 5 loaves, 2 fish. What do we need? A lot more loaves and a lot more fish. So I bless it. How do I bless it? Be multiplied.
Amen.
Be multiplied.
Amen.
And then he took the blessed fish and loaves and split it up among the apostles and says, "Okay, fellas, you go feed them." If you were one of the apostles, what would you have said? "Oh yeah, glory to God. We're going to feed all these people with this little bit." The first thing that happened was, now listen, the first thing that happened was, there was a multiplication from his hands into the hands of the apostles.
Amen.
Then they turn around, and as they go, they just keep breaking off and handing out, breaking off and handing out, breaking off and handing out. And I can tell you for a fact, sooner or later, you know, they're kind of looking over at each other thinking, "What's going on here?" And then after everybody eats, and you know how people eat, you know, wiping the crumbs off and burping and everything else, they've got all these leftovers, 12 baskets full of leftovers. He overblessed it. More than enough.
Amen.
More than enough. He sent them home with doggy bags. Praise God. Do you see what I'm saying? He spoke God's will into the situation. Because the Bible talks about with those loaves of fish, he looked up to heaven and he blessed them and gave to his apostles to feed the people. Now, again, let's just use our imagination. Why did he look up to heaven? "Father, what do I say?" "Bless him, son." "Okay. Be multiplied. Feed him." And he had no doubt it was going to happen.
Amen.
I'll guarantee you the one thing he wasn't doing was, you know, over here on his knees, "Oh, God, please, please come through for me. Oh, Father, please, please, I'm going to look bad if you don't. Please, 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 please. Do you know who I am? I'm the Messiah." He didn't do that. He just sat back and watched with joy unspeakable and full of glory as the Word of God impacted that entire situation. He spoke to the situation. But He not only spoke to the situation, He spoke what was relevant to the situation. He could have confessed. Now remember, when it came to the loaves and fishes thing, and Philip and the others looked and said, well, you know, we don't have much money here. I mean, what are we going to do? What he could have said, what could have been done was, you know, just, you got what, 5 loaves and 2 fish? All right, reach inside the fish's mouth and just start pulling out money so we can go buy food. Or we can give these people some money and then go. Jesus said, no, we're not going to do it that way. He already knew what he was supposed to do because in his spirit he received the instructions from the Father. You don't send them away. You don't believe me for money. You don't believe for fast chariots and horses so they can hurry and get down to McDonald's for a Happy Meal. No, what you do, take what you have and speak my word of blessing over what you have and then put it to work. And he did. And then Jesus turns around and he says, okay, guys, you remember like the storm thing? In peace be still? Yeah, Jesus, we remember that. All right, you remember the fig tree? Whether or not, yeah, we remember that. Well, you remember the loaves and the fish multiplying? Yeah. Okay, you remember how all that happened, right? Yeah, you just started talking and things happened. Okay, you. If you speak what the Father has spoken and you believe that it's going to work, like it worked for me, then you're going to have what you say. And for these guys, it's like, okay, we can do that. And then Jesus dies, raised from the dead, ascends to the Father. Here go Peter and John walking in to the temple. There's this fellow lame. Alms. Peter and John stop. Peter looks at him and says, buddy, silver and gold have I none. But such as I have, give I unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, be healed, stand up, jump, shout, praise the Lord, and walk. Peter didn't doubt it. He believed. He spoke to the situation according to the will of God. He believed it would happen, and it happened.
Amen.
And that guy was happy it did. Will you come back for us? And the same thing is true. The words that Peter spoke are the same things for us. I mean, look, Peter had it. Do you have it?
Such that I have.
What do you have?
Why
does confession work? Because God can't lie. Therefore, in Scripture, where it says... Now, see, you got to believe, though, that the Bible is the Word of God. I mean, you have to believe that. If you don't, well, you know, you are, as they say, behind the eight ball already. But if you truly believe that the Bible is the Word of God, and I'm sure we do, then therefore, when we come across a verse that says something like, by His stripes you were healed. That is God's Word.
Amen.
That is His declaration. That means, since He can't lie, by His stripes you were healed is a truth.
Amen.
That cannot be changed.
Amen.
It is immutable,
hallelujah,
unchangeable.
Yes.
It can't change. So if I've got, you know, Gitche Gumi syndrome in my leg, then the dumbest thing for me to do is to go around and confess Gitche Gumi.
That's right.
The Gitche Gumi got me. You know, what I need to do is declare the immutable Word of God in the name of Jesus. By Jesus' stripes, my leg was healed.
Amen.
And then, now listen, and not only that, but remember Jesus, loaves, fish, He blessed them. Bless your leg.
Amen.
Bless it with the Word of God.
Yes.
Just, you know, hold it out there. In Jesus' name, you're healed.
Amen.
If your eyes are messed up, stand in front of the mirror and bless your eyes with the Word of God.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus, eyes, you're healed. You see me? You hear me?
Yes, God.
You got problems with your ears? Then bless them.
Amen.
With the Word of God.
That's right.
You say, oh, you're getting kind of fanatical. But wait a minute. Jesus was fanatical first.
Yes, sir.
And if I'm going to conform to His image, yes, I have a right to be fanatical.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Jesus said,
amen.
Whatever you speak, believe, you're going to receive it. You're going to have it.
Amen.
How do I know? Because Jesus said, I hear from the Father, I receive from the Father, and I turn around and I speak it.
Amen.
And it happens. I don't speak anything other than what the Father has told me to speak. Therefore, when it comes to blind people, the Father wants me speaking sight. When it comes to deaf people, hearing. When it comes to lame people, walking. When it comes
amen.
To dead people, life.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
It can't not work. But if we don't believe it, why should it work? Here's the problem in the body of Christ. Even in the Word of Faith churches, all too often we have been trained not to believe it.
Right, right.
The world helps us with the when I see it, I'll believe it. So we bring that in. I mean, we just hold the door open and bring that into our church, and then we carry that with us.
God, yeah.
I mean, I remember one time there was a lady here in this church. She had a medical condition. Doctor said can't be healed. Well, I made a fool of myself because I would speak to her. I call you healed of, you know, blankety blank. And in the name of Jesus, by Jesus' stripes, we just kept, and I'd have to tell people, you know, just speak this over
amen.
Here. Speak it. It's a congregation. We spoke it. And on, we did this over and over and over again for a long period of time. And there was somebody in the congregation said, well, you know, I mean, somebody born again, filled with the Holy Spirit. I'll believe it when I see it. But it's already in the Word of God. By His stripes you were healed. God can't lie. Therefore, that woman's healing was already in the Word. It was already in there.
Amen.
He didn't say by His stripes runny nose was healed. He didn't say by His stripes get your gimme was healed. He said by His stripes you were healed. Healed of what? I don't care. By His stripes you were healed. So we kept speaking. And one day this lady was in a service, got prayed for, and boom, miracle. 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 No more walker, no more wheelchair, no more cane, no more crutches, nothing. Miracle. And in the next service in here, she stood up running across the front of the sanctuary. And she looked back at the fellow that said, when I see it, I believe. She looked, see there. The worst thing I can do is live by when I see it, I'll believe it. Because if God can't lie, then I already have it before my eyes. It's already, when He says, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Last thing I need to do is sit down at the table with the checkbook open, banging my head and saying, what am I going to do? Speak to it.
Amen.
Talk it.
Amen.
Declare it. God, you said you'd meet all my needs according to your riches and glory.
Right.
Amen.
And if you hear a booming voice from heaven saying, yes, I'll gladly do that, but you need wisdom. Because you've been spending money on things you shouldn't spend money on.
Yeah.
So then you know what you do? Speak to your brain.
Amen.
I operate the wisdom of God. I am a steward of all that I have. I am a wise steward unto God. You begin to, and you just find these wisdom passages. I do not lack wisdom, for God gives it liberally unto me, and I operate by wisdom in all areas of my life. Wisdom causes me to prosper, therefore I walk in wisdom. The crazy thing, though, is when you start saying, oh, I've got Cadillacs, and I've got Continentals, and I've got, you know, jets, and I've got submarines, and I've got... No! No! No, you speak to the situation out of the Word of God, what He has already said. He can't lie. What, you think He would give us something that doesn't work? If He can't lie, then that means everything in here works.
Amen.
Works. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loves the church. You know one of the best things you can do as a husband? Is you can speak that over yourself.
Well, I really love my wife the way Christ loves the church.
No, you don't, and I can tell. Speak that over yourself. I've confessed that over me for my wife.
Amen.
Now,
Amen.
If you ask her, she'll say, he ain't there yet. Hopefully she would say, he's better than what he used to be. But I have confessed that over me. Because see, it doesn't matter where I am on that love your wife as Christ loves the church scale. I want to be higher up on that scale. So I confess that. Even if she's being a boogerhead. You know. In theory, all right? Now she... I don't think that's ever happened. Hallelujah. Just, when you see these things, see, these are God's promises. These are God's words. These are the things God has said. And listen, once He spoke them, it's like, that's it. They've been released. Now, they're set in motion. They can't not work. The only variable is us. Hey, listen, let me tell you something. This may really shock a whole lot of Christians. Satan cannot stop godly confession from coming to pass.
Amen.
He can't. The only thing he can hope for is to deceive you into believing it won't come to pass. That's why he has fought confession so hard in churches. That's why he has walked into churches and convinced entire denominations, congregation, church, whatever, that it doesn't work. That's because he knows it does work. If it didn't work, then he would have been able to circumvent everything Jesus said and continued doing everything he was doing. But when Jesus said, come out of him, you foul and clean spirit, they did. When Jesus said, you know, get thee behind me, Satan, he did. Every time Jesus spoke, he put an end to something Satan wanted to do. And that's why Satan has fought confession so hard. And again, we're not talking about that out there in left field, you know, well, I want him to be my husband. I confess him, but he's already married. I don't care. I call him my husband in the name of Jesus. No, no, no. It doesn't work that way.
Amen.
No. Anything about your life that does not parallel what God has said, take what God has said and speak to it. Speak to that part of your life. I mean, you can get in all kinds of, you know, areas about this. But what has God said? That's what you do. I want to show you something else here in this. Look at Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55. Now, I want you to look at this. Here's a foreshadowing of Mark 11. Variation on the theme. Isaiah 55, verse 11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. And it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. So when God was up in heaven and He made that statement, by my Son's stripes you were healed, that word went forth, it can't return void. That means every time we truly stand on the foundation of that declaration, we can believe for a manifestation.
Amen.
Because it can't return void. And the reason it can't return void is because He can't lie. It is impossible for Him to lie. So He says, hey, listen, once I speak it, man, it's released. It's set in motion. Now you just have to get into the motion.
Amen.
You have to believe this and accept it. But I want you to see something else in this. He says, verse 11, I can't lie. Whatever I speak, if it leaves my mouth, that's it. It's settled. It's done. It won't return void. It will accomplish everything I tell it to accomplish. Everything I send it out to do, it will do. Now look what he says in verse 12. For ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. And people are, well, you know, that's, you know, poetic license and all. Okay, well, forget about the trees and the hills and the mountains. Look at this part right here. You shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. Right after he says, when my word goes forth from my mouth, it won't return void. It will accomplish what I sent it forth to accomplish. The first thing he says is, you shall go out with joy and you shall be led forth with peace. That means as I'm standing on what he has has spoken, there is nothing but peace and joy in walking on His Word. He says if you stand on it, then you're going to go out with peace, joy, strength. It's going to be there for you. It can't not happen this way. Listen, there is no discouragement in the Word of God.
I've been standing on the Word of God. Ain't nothing happened yet.
You're not standing on the Word of God. Because if you're truly standing on the Word of God, you'd be led forth with peace, go out with joy, and you're not going to have anything. That won't be happening in your life. Instead, you will have a confidence in you that knows, hey, listen, I don't see it in the natural yet, but I do know this, His Word can't return void.
Amen.
Yes, but it's been 3 years.
Well, His Word can't return void.
Amen.
So the problem's not with His Word, the problem's with your belief. And then the next thing he says, look at this, verse 13. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree. Instead of the briar, now he's not talking about people from the south. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. Don't send me any emails on that one. That was just a bad joke. Pray for me. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And that shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Do you know what he's saying here in verse 13? Right after he gets through saying, my word goes forth, it won't return void, it accomplishes everything I send it forth to accomplish. And he says, okay, now that I have established that and I've told you that, the first thing I want you to know is you're going to go forth with joy and you're going to go out with joy and be led forth with peace. And then the next thing I want you to know is this. Living according to my word means you're not going to have thorns and briars in your life. You're going to have the blessings of Almighty God manifesting, and they can't be cut down once they're established. But you've got to believe that. And the proof of whether or not you believe it is what you speak into your life.
Well, I'm just afraid. Ain't nothing to worry. I'm just afraid. I'm afraid to step out in faith. And you're not stepping out in faith. You're stepping out in dumb.
Because when you step out in faith, there's no fear. Fear hath torment. But God's not given us a spirit of fear.
Amen.
Love, power, sound mind. See, when you feel yourself, you know, well, I just don't. I know what I'm supposed to do, but no, I just. No, wait a minute. God hasn't given me a spirit of fear.
Amen. Speak it.
I walk in love, power, and a sound mind. That's what I do. I walk in love, power, and a sound mind. That's what I do.
Amen.
I walk in love, power, and a sound mind. I can do this because I walk in love, power, and a sound mind. I'll be led forth with peace and joy, and the strength of the Lord is going to encompass me, and I'm going to walk right into blessings. I'm going to walk out of these thorns into the blessings of Almighty God.
Amen.
I'm going to walk into my healing. I'm going to walk into my deliverance. I'm going to walk into, name it. Whatever God said, that's where you're headed.
Amen.
Why does it work? Because God can't lie. It's impossible for Him to lie.
Amen.
Hey, just to kind of fill you in, I still work on this. Mm-hmm. Because anytime, hey, it's easy to believe anything in the Word of God that already is happening in our life.
Well, praise God, by His stripes I'm healed. Hallelujah.
And ain't nothing wrong. Well, praise God for the confession. But then, you know, you develop gitchy-goomy.
Oh, God, where are You?
I'm right there in my Word.
Amen.
The tough part is when you don't see the reality of the Word in your life manifested. That's the challenge. I know You said You'd supply. I remember one time, I was, you know, praying about the finances for the ministry. And, you know, confession. Oh, Father, you know, thank You, you know, for the finances. You know, specific amount and all this other. It's like He asked me a question. He said, why do you want that? And it was almost like He was asking, well, what are you going to do with it? Why do you want it? One of my confessions is, Father, I thank You for the miracle millions. It's like, okay, well, why do you want the miracle millions? When I say miracle millions, I mean, you know, unless you guys have millions in your bank account, you ain't giving millions, all right? So it's a miracle if it comes in. It has to come from somebody that's got it. You know what I'm saying? Oh, Father, thank you for the Miracle Millions. Okay, why? Why do you want the Miracle Millions? And it's like, yeah, really, why? Why do I want the Miracle Millions? And I kind of had to be a little honest with him. Being honest with God is always a good thing because He already knows.
Yeah.
I said, well, I'd like to think it's because I want to put it to work for your kingdom.
Amen.
By your wisdom. In other words, not taking the Miracle Millions and doing what I think. Now, I'm not talking to put it in my pocket. I'm talking about, you know, we'll buy a new building and we'll set this thing up here. We'll go over here and do that. And we'll start this kind of a ministry and we'll do the outreach thing here and do it. No, no. Once you've got the Miracle Millions, you can do all that. But I better take the Miracle Millions and do with it what He wants. And if the Miracle Millions come in, and He says, all right, turn around and send them out.
Amen. Amen.
It's like, no, God, I don't think you heard me. Father, have you prayed about this? If the Miracle Millions come in, and He turns right around, and He says, okay, you send them over here to this ministry, and send them and do this, and send, and you know, and not only that, but I want you to help such and such thing here in the city. But God, that's not even a Christ-centered, I don't care, I want you to do it because it's helping people.
Right.
Wow, okay, I can do that. I mean, think of it this way, you know, how many Christians did Jesus feed? None. They were all lost. When I begin to confess what He has said, and I've got it convinced in me that He can't lie. Therefore, every time I take what He has said and I begin to release it, it's impacting my circumstances. There might be a major wall of unbelief. There might be a major front of the enemy, you know, trying to interfere. And so, but the thing is, His Word can't return void. So I take it, I apply it to its given purpose. For example, by His stripes you were healed.
Amen.
That has nothing to do with the carburetor on my car.
That's right.
I don't even know if they have carburetors anymore.
That's right.
You see what I mean? That's about my body.
Amen.
So I apply it for its purpose.
Amen.
And no matter how long it takes.
Well, just my Brother Martin, what if it doesn't work?
Well, you know what? Then I want to be buried with His words on my lips.
Amen.
You understand what I mean?
Yeah.
I at least want to leave a legacy. He never backed off from confessing the Word of God in everything. That's the legacy that I would want to leave behind. But I'm not going to live with that belief. I'm going to live with the belief it's going to manifest. It's going to take place. Father, in the name of Jesus, it is Your will that my children not perish, but my children come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I know I cannot control their will. However, Father, like Jesus said, I pray for laborers to be sent into the harvest field of their life. Father, may angels be stationed around them to create an atmosphere of holiness in their life. Father, I ask that You invade their dreams at night, that they would have dreams of Your glory, dreams of salvation. Father, I'm asking You that You would move according to Your Word and go forth before them and meet them everywhere that they go. May they come across Christians who will speak Your life and Your Word into them. See what I'm saying? Worst thing you can do is say, well, them kids of mine, I just don't understand why they're not, they ain't never going to come around. I've never seen them. And Satan's over here saying, yes, keep saying that because that opens the door for me to move in.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you can line up with the Word of God or line up with Satan, whatever you want. Think of it this way. Anytime you start confessing that which does not line up with what God has said, you are confessing out of your flesh or by influence of devils. And there's a reason why they want you to speak it. That's why Satan went to Jesus and said, if you be the Son of God, bow down and worship me. I want your confession over me. Because if you confess over me through your worship, I will become what you say. That's powerful.
Right. He knew what he was trying to do.
He can't lie. God can't. No lie. It doesn't matter what you see in your life. It doesn't matter your circumstances. It doesn't matter what you're battling right now. God can't lie. And this is why confession works. Amen. Praise God. Amen. I confess you standing. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Look, it works.